In this week's State Capitol Report, we will hear what's happening with Governor Walker's proposed state budget and what it means to you. Plus, the State Republican Party convention was held over the weekend. What's the Wisconsin GOP up to? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Monday, May 6th. Our state government reporter, Sean Johnson, will join us first with a rundown of some of the top stories in state government this week. And then after 7:30, we will welcome in a state lawmaker, as we often do in our second segment, who will answer your questions on the state issues that matter most to you. And this week, State Senator Glenn Grothman will also tell us why he's authoring a bill to provide tax credits to parents who send their kids to private schools. So if you have questions for Senator Grothman after 7:30 or for Wisconsin Public Radio's Sean Johnson right now, our number is 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Sean Johnson is Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter, and he joins us in the studio. Hello, Sean.
Good morning.
So you spent Saturday in Wausau at the Wisconsin GOP convention.
Yeah, I think I was technically in Rothschild.
A suburb.
Right up there. And so, yeah, the annual state GOP convention, an off year, so it's not like, not as exciting as the election year conventions where the Republican Party actually, you know, gets involved in nominating fights. This was more speeches.
So do we read anything into the fact that the keynote speaker was Reince Priebus, the former state Republican Party chair and now the national party chair?
Yeah, I mean, you could either say that they had a lack of national speakers or, hey, they got the RNC chair here. So Reince Priebus has always been at these things, throughout his career, whether it be as a legislative aide on up to the state Republican Party chair and now the RNC chair. And he's talking about something he's been talking about at the national level for a while now, and that is that the party needs to make some changes to the way that it organizes in particular, and the way that it delivers its message if it wants to win presidential elections. Priebus told the crowd that if you look back at, you know, the last several presidential cycles, if you're honest, Republicans haven't won a convincing presidential victory since 1988. He said if you look back at that map, you had all these states that are so-called blue states that were red. Mm-hmm. Republican support was widespread. And so you kind of ask the crowd, where did all that go?
We've entered into this eight-state carnival game. And the game is, you hit every state in the bullseye, and if you miss one, you just lost the game. Well, that is a game to nowhere. We have to grow this party.
And so one of his messages has been that, you know, the party needs to have a change in tone. But in terms of what that means, there weren't a whole lot of specifics from Priebus, at least at this event. He was asked about it by reporters after his speech.
Well, I don't think it's a matter of moderation. I think it's a matter of kind of what our moms used to say. It's not what you say, it's how you say it. And I also think it's a matter of using grace and love in your tone, which is a pretty good rule to live by. I think we all try to do that in our lives. But I think in politics, you have to be reminded that, you know, love and grace is part of the conversation.
So, you know, again, tone seems to be what they're pushing there. And, you know, not that we need to, you know, dump this part of our platform. It seems like the recurring theme among Republicans at this convention is that, you know, nationally, these groups that maybe aren't supporting us now will like us if they see what we're about, as long as we tone down the rhetoric.
Well, I know that certainly on the national level, there has been some soul searching and talk about reaching out to certain groups like Latinos and immigration reform being one way to do that. What about that?
Right. Mm-hmm. The thinking being that if they're going to survive as a party nationally, they can't afford to be, you know, villainizing this large growing segment of America. And so this may be why you have somebody like a Paul Ryan, Congressman Paul Ryan out of Janesville, the party's vice presidential nominee, teaming up with Illinois Democrat Luis Gutierrez in the U.S. House on an immigration reform bill there. And, you know, Paul Ryan says it's because the current system is broke.
We have a broken immigration system. It's not working. And for the sake of our national security, for the sake of our economic security, we got to fix our immigration laws. And what's good is Republicans and Democrats are trying to come together to figure out how to do that.
And so this is an area where you kind of see these, you know, the differences in tone versus difference in substance being two different arguments here in the Republican Party. Congressman Jim Sensenbrenner spent most of his speech at the convention really attacking a bipartisan immigration reform proposal that's up for debate in the Senate. He says, you know, this would essentially put an end to legal immigration in the U.S. and send the wrong message to the world.
Whether you call it the pathway to citizenship or comprehensive immigration reform, it's still amnesty, because under current law, if you are here illegally and you are caught, you are subject to deportation.
And so, you know, that's obviously one of the big issues of the day, and clearly one where, you know, the talk about, you know, tone and doing things different is not going to, you know, win the day with Jim Sensenbrenner and, you know, many people who see things his way.
We heard your story in state news just before we started the state capitol report, Sean. This was regarding it. We heard Assembly Speaker Robin Voss making some promises.
Yeah, and particularly he said they're going to have election reform on their agenda this coming session. And he said that voter ID will be in place by the 2014 elections. So, you know, just as a reminder, voter ID is something that Republicans passed last legislative session. It's been overturned, put on hold by two Dane County Circuit Court judges. And, you know, it remains on hold. And supporters of the law have tried to get the Supreme Court to take it on an expedited appeal, tried to get the appeals court to take it on an expedited appeal. And in both cases, you know, were denied that. And so it's going through the legal process at, you know, at the normal pace. And so if it were going to be law by 2014, that would either mean, you know, it makes it through the legal system, makes it to the Supreme Court, says it's constitutional, or Republicans go back to the drawing board, maybe identify some of the things that were called out as unconstitutional by the lower courts, and, you know, tweak the voter ID law, pass a different one, something along those lines.
And Speaker Voss was very adamant, forceful in saying that we will, the legislature will expand the voucher program in Wisconsin. I thought that was a little less certain.
I guess it depends how big of an expansion you're going to see. And, you know, no doubt Speaker Voss's caucus will be behind some kind of a voucher expansion in the Assembly. It's in the Senate where you don't know what's going to happen. There have been a lot of Republicans there who have been vocal in their opposition to this program, or at least in their opposition to the expansion of the governor's budget. The governor's budget would expand to 9 new communities. It would increase the amount that the state spends per pupil on voucher students at a time when it's holding, you know, his budget would hold per pupil funding flat for public school students. And, you know, so that proposal has seen significant pushback in the Senate. You know, so it kind of depends what expansion means. And, you know, really the question is what happens in the other house.
Yeah, Sean, we are talking, as I mentioned, with State Senator Glenn Grothman of West Bend coming up after 7:30. He and Republican State Representative Dean Coffert last week unveiled a proposal that would provide tax credits to parents in Wisconsin who send their kids to private schools. I guess they're touting it as an alternative to expanding the private school voucher program. What kind of reaction is this proposal getting?
I mean, I don't know if that's going to be viewed as the alternative or not. I think it's been introduced in the past and didn't go anywhere. But I think, you know, proponents of the voucher program are looking for, you know, they're looking to get something done this legislative session. You know, you've had a few voucher proponents digging their heels, said they won't support any budget that doesn't expand vouchers. But again, on the other side, you've got Senate President Mike Ellis saying that the program stinks. You know, Republicans saying we can't have two school systems. Had a hearing this past week where, you know, chaired by Republican Dale Schultz, where the speakers were talking about the damage that vouchers could do to rural public schools. And so there's, you know, a significant difference of opinion there.
Yeah, we will talk again after 7:30 with State Senator Glenn Grothman about that proposal and some other issues that he's involved with. But anything else from the state GOP convention, Sean? Any other highlights before we wrap that up?
No, I mean, in terms of hard actual news, not a whole lot of it in an off election year. I mean, you have the RNC chair there talking about the direction the party should go, and you have this dispute amongst some of its high-profile people. But, I think next year when you're talking about the 2014 elections, it'll be different.
Sean Johnson is Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter. We'll talk about some other issues making news at the state capitol in just a moment. And we do welcome your input, your questions at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Our next topic of discussion will be an audit of the state's flagship jobs agency known as WEDEC. We'll find out how significant this audit is coming up in just a moment. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. Checking our weather forecast for today. Sounds good. Sunny and mild. Highs will be in the low to mid 70s. In the 60s near the Great Lakes. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is our State Capitol Report. Every week at this time, we check into what's happening at the State Capitol, usually with Sean Johnson during this first half hour. Sean is Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter. And Sean, last week, lots of headlines over this audit of WEDEC. What exactly is WEDEC, and what did this audit say?
The Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation is the public-private agency that replaced the old state-run Department of Commerce. It was one of Governor Walker's first priorities upon taking office, and it was going to be his, as you mentioned before that little break there, the flagship jobs agency. And what you've seen is, a number of missteps by the agency. Some of these were highlighted in private audits that were released recently. But this audit from the Legislative Audit Bureau last week is fairly scathing in terms of the picture it painted of operations at WEDEC. And among the findings that it had were that WEDEC had no plans for tracking delinquent loans, and they had insufficient records to track job creation. In some cases, they gave out grants that actually violated state law. So as you can imagine, Democrats have been hitting this agency very hard. And there was no exception last week when Assembly Democratic Minority Leader Peter Barca chimed in on the findings in this audit.
By any means by which you would study how successful WEDEC has been, you would have to say, up until now, it has been a complete failure.
And when Governor Walker was asked about the audit, he said that a lot of these findings had actually been brought up in an earlier private audit.
A lot of it's cleaning up some of the things from the old Department of Commerce. The loans, for example, that they've highlighted were loans made prior to WDC. They've got to be more diligent in that regard, more than anything, for the confidence of the public out there.
But I'll tell you, the Republican co-chairs of the audit committee also had concerns about this, and they're going to hold a public hearing this Thursday to talk about the audit. This is, especially as it pertains to Governor Walker, I mean, not only was it one of his first priorities when he came into office, he also chairs the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation board. So, as we move toward election season next year, and the message from Democrats is going to be, where are the jobs? They're also going to be talking about this agency, which has had trouble getting off the ground.
So in other budget news, Sean, what's the latest from the Joint Finance Committee?
Yeah, they were going to vote on transportation last week, and I think the big picture is that they left a lot of the, more difficult questions to be answered later. You know, one of the questions that they have to address in that Joint Finance Committee or in the legislature is how are you going to pay for transportation going forward? It's running a deficit if you do nothing in the transportation fund, and you have, you know, roughly $1 billion in new borrowing to pay for roads in the transportation budget. And so this is something that Alberta Darling, the Senate co-chair of the Budget Committee, was asked about after the meeting last week.
I think there's very big concern about the longevity of the fund, the trust, the fund, the transportation fund, that we can't keep kicking the can down the road. We've got to dig into it. So you're going to see a reduction of some bonding, but you're not going to probably see that in the transportation budget this time.
So it she says at the very end there, you're not going to see that, that being a reduction of bonding in the transportation budget this time. So, you know, as Republicans talk about the need to reduce bonding, it sounds like they're not going to go after the biggest source of it, which is in the transportation budget. One thing that the Republicans did vote on last week, they did vote on pieces of the transportation budget, and they got rid of this proposal that the State Department of Transportation wanted in their budget that would have added 28 new highway inspectors, most of them. And these are the people that check for overweight trucks on the road. Senator Darling said that they thought that would be that they want to be a more business-friendly state, and they were worried about the message that would send.
Someone could think that they are within the boundaries of the weight and then find out they're not and then get slapped with a terrible fine. And we think sometimes there has to be more consideration and flexibility.
So, interesting, though, if you read the Fiscal Bureau paper on this, they say that, you know, the DOT estimated that this would save that overweight trucks cost the state $41 million a year. And that for the past 15 years, Wisconsin has been shedding these highway inspector jobs. And actually, if you compare us to all surrounding states, they all have more highway inspectors, you know, in terms of miles driven on the roadway. So kind of a unique area where maybe the motor carrier lobby is flexing its muscle in Wisconsin.
Well, I know there are a lot of other things that made news at the state capitol last week, but let's talk a little bit about what's going to happen this week in our final moments. I did read that there was a bill that passed a committee that would restrict the amount of junk food someone could buy with food stamps, and the full assembly is going to take up that bill.
Yes, and I believe you had the author on, Dean Coffert,
recently,
to talk
yes.
about
mm-hmm.
it. And he rewrote the proposal or amended it so that it would only have, say that you had to have a portion of your, you know, the food that you buy from food stamps would have to come or would have to be from a list of, you know, so-called health foods or it would, you know, you would not be able to have junk food on that list. So I think it's 2/3 of their monthly benefits would have to be spent on items such as milk, bread, and vegetables. And they could spend their remaining benefits on any authorized food. You know, the question is whether you can even do this. The federal government would have to grant the state a waiver, and they've declined similar waivers to other states, you know, in recent years.
And also the assembly is going to take up that bill that would, what, downsize the Milwaukee County Board?
Yeah, this was something that Assembly Democrats were able to delay with the procedural move, you know, late last month. It is going to come up this week for a final vote in the Assembly where Republicans are going to pass it. And, you know, in the interim, the Milwaukee County Board actually passed its own measure that they said would have reformed Milwaukee County government, you know, cut the county board's budget, among other things. It was vetoed by County Executive Chris Abele. And so, you know, the relations between the Milwaukee County's executive and the county board over there, you know, basically continuing on a rocky path. And so that kind of sends it back to the legislature, and at least in the assembly, Republicans are going to go along with Abele.
And what's this bill that the assembly will vote on that has to do with asbestos cases and tort reform?
Yeah, this is something that the business lobby is pushing, and you know they say that under the current tort reform laws, that trial lawyers can you know use the laws to be seeking basically a payout in multiple locations. This would, through disclosure, limit that. But, you know, the trial lawyer or the trial bar saying essentially this is meant to make it harder for people who've been hurt from asbestos to, you know, to collect damages. And so, you know, you can expect probably a pretty fiery debate on that.
All right. We still have about a minute or a little bit more than a minute to go. There will also be some action on residency requirements this week.
Yes. It looks like that's coming up. It's one of the items coming up in the Joint Finance Committee on Thursday. They're also going to take up the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation budget. You know, so a week after the audit, that'll be coming up. I think you can expect, you know, already Democrats have said why the hurry. And they say this is an agency that this audit shows has some troubles. Government Accountability Board will be up, the state's election agency, you know, who knows what might happen there. And, you know, there's the Employment Relations Commission is coming up, and, you know, probably not a agency that people, most people deal with on a regular basis, but this handles labor disputes. And so the governor wants to downsize its budget, you know, post Act 10, and take away its status as an independent agency, move it under his administration.
Yeah, we have just a minute to go, Sean. We in our Monday morning wake-up call this morning, we talked with a tenants' rights organization, very concerned over what they say is a bill that's being fast-tracked that in the legislature that would take away some tenants' rights. Is that what's going on?
Well, I mean, I can tell you that it was introduced, I think, last Tuesday, had a hearing on Thursday, so that probably fits the definition of fast track. You know, some of the things that catch your attention in the bill is it would let a landlord evict a tenant if a crime's committed on a rental property, even if the tenant could not have prevented the crime, and landlords could keep building code violations a secret unless they've been ticketed for them first. So. Yeah, those caught some attention.
We will hear some more about that, I'm sure, in the days to come. Sean, thanks a lot. We'll have a busy week.
All right, thanks, Joy.
Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio State Government Reporter. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.